The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
It's the Breakfast Huddle. I'm Elliot Danker. You know, in this new day and age, anyone around the world always has a chance to give their review or ratings via various media platforms online. You're talking like Google Review, TripAdvisor, Yelp, and all that. And whatever ratings is given out there can either make or break a company. Well, in a recent survey done by Simon Kucher and Partners, it was found out that only 13% of Singapore companies have a strategy to facilitate this rating process. And their strategy at the same time is not the most efficient way to understand customers' satisfaction. The real question is, do these ratings matter? Is it too late for a company to come back from a bad streak of ratings? And is there any way such companies can salvage their ratings? Well, I have with me in the studio this morning, Jurgen Kraus, Managing Partner of Simon Kucher & Partners Singapore. Joe, good morning and welcome to the studio.
Good morning, Elliot.
So let's start off with the survey that's done by a company. Four groups of companies emerge based on the maturity of their dealings with ratings. Could you explain these four stages of rating maturity in detail? What exactly does it encompass?
You have to think about ratings as actually a great way to improve one's position. It is the advancement of the word of mouth. You are collecting voices of your customers and you try to actually make some meaning into it and to improve, basically. Okay. And then we looked, well, what kind of companies are there in the market? Are there companies who say, well, I couldn't care less? And this is what we call the laggards, the ones that are really not interested about ratings. They think they are unimportant. They have no significant meaning with regard to whether a customer chooses them or does not choose them. Now, the ones that are the activists, that's about half of the market, who says, well, yeah, ratings are important, but I don't really know what to do about them. I might be having them on my own website. I might be listed. You just mentioned a TripAdvisor in the hotel industry. You are somewhere appearing. You realize that that's the activists. But what do I do about it? No idea. Then are the talkers. That's about 20% of the companies who say, well, they have a strategy to deal with it, but they don't really follow it. It's a little bit like firefighting. You have a bad rating, you do something about it. Okay. You can probably talk about what you can do about it. And they are the front runners. Those are really the ones who walk the talk, who know what is going on, and they act upon poor ratings or good ratings. I mean, you have different strategies on how to respond to those.
There's a lot of people who don't care, people who respond, and then you have those that just react. But what amazes me is, and I've seen this firsthand, is someone at a hotel trying to get a room, things not going their way, and then he threatens with, you know, I'm going to go on TripAdvisor, I'm going to give you a bad rating. And then suddenly you see the hotel react and accommodate to his needs.
The big issue I feel with ratings, and of course now it is a question of which perspective you take on.
But
if you are from a hotel perspective, you have a customer who is maybe has a perception of being treated in a not-so-nice way. He goes public with that, and then all of a sudden something happens. There is a public image that is being created, but does it really matter in the big picture? Yeah, that's a little bit questionable, I would say. And so the big challenge in ratings is you really have to define what is noise out there and what is real quality about the information that you receive as a provider of those services.
What about if you look at like ride-hailing services like Grab? I had a driver once tell me, and in fact, it was just last week, he said, you know, could you give me a better rating? Help me out because my rating is only 4 out of 5 star on average and I'm getting lesser jobs as a result. Should main providers, say, for example, Grab or your Gojek and all that, should they punish drivers based on a poor rating?
Yeah, well, I think it makes sense to actually step back and think about what a rating actually does and what it should do. And in theory, or in general, a rating is a good idea to actually make sure that you are providing a service that you want to provide for.
Okay.
And by having somebody give you a rating, you actually make sure that this is also the case. I have provided the best that I can. Now, please do rate me. Have I performed to your expectations? Okay. That's the basic meaning of a rating. Now, if you say, I have performed based on expectations, you can now draw some things out of it, and what it means to pricing, for example.
Sure.
But now, in the case of a good driver, should you actually give him more jobs because he does a good job? Yes, I would think so, because it is actually the driver, your Grab driver, is acting in the best interest of the company. He's providing a good service. He does what he needs to do to get more jobs. Now, let's think about a poor driver or somebody who who gets a 4 out of 5. And honestly, I think a 4 out of 5 is still a good driver,
it's quite a
right?
A good driver, yeah.
What should a company do? A company should actually not just punish him, but you should actually think about, well, what can I do to make this a 5-star driver? And not so much of just taking business away from him, but just think, well, my aim is to be a 5-star. I don't think anybody will get a 5.0 in any kind of business. But let's.
Sure.
Let's up the average into a 4.6, 4.8 or something like that. Okay, what can I do as a company to help these drivers to get better and not just punish them?
So I see what you're alluding to. You're talking about, you know, looking at ratings as really that core essence of improving your customer service, improving the service that you provide. But very often as a company, we tend to fall back into, you know, how this is going to affect my company's brand, how it can turn into profitability. And does it really matter? Does it really equal to profit?
You made yourself an activist in my category. You said, yeah, it's important, but what should I do about it?
Companies tend to do that, right?
This is firefighting. This is essentially this is short-term actions, and I believe it needs to be a good mixture. It needs to be a good mixture between short-term actions. A company needs to understand what is necessary to do in terms of complaints management. Complaints management is a pretty standard approach in many industries, not only service industries. We talked about Grab, but it's also in typically product companies. What do I do about complaints? What do I do to make these things go away? Is it because of low performance, a slow delivery? Think about a Red Mart who does not deliver on time or anything about that. But strategically, this is, I think, the bigger picture, what I can take out of a rating. What can I do to overall improve the rating that I have, or the perception in the bigger picture that I have out there? Because the better my perception, the easier it is to actually also apply a pricing strategy that probably helps me eventually to sell not only more, but also at a higher price or a more profitable margin.
If you have good ratings, no matter what, it will churn out something positive in terms of profit. But then you have this cultural mindset of, okay, I'm always going to firefight. I'm always going to firefight. And that's just not long-term sustainable, right? And on that note, why do you think only 13% of Singapore companies have a strategy to facilitate this rating process?
You could now argue, thank God that there are 13 companies who actually facilitate
at least there are 13.
There are 13 who not only firefight. The big picture is somewhere in between. It is the majority of companies have realized it's a little bit like digitalization. When digitalization first came up, many people said, yeah, that is important. What do I do about it? Nobody really knew. And I think we are in the beginning where companies realize they have to transform themselves from a firefighting, from a pure tactical approach into a more strategic orientation.
Okay.
How can I improve on my service standards? What does it do? What is really important? What are the customers who are really important? Not every rating that I get is really an important rating. What I said before, quality and noise.
You go on your TripAdvisor, your Yelp and whatnot, and let's say now I'm one of those companies and I have bad ratings in terms of customer service. I notice less people start coming to my company. What can I do to salvage the situation? Because it's not like I can delete all the bad ratings.
Just do better.
So I shouldn't let that be at the back of my head.
It is important to realize what really matters to customers, what matters to the customers that you want to have as a company. Chances are you don't want to have all types of customers. I don't want to generalize not too much, but I think a company wants to have those customers who are loyal, who come back, who provide a margin for them, who they can create a good relationship with. Now, if I know what those customers are, I can find out what's important to them, what really matters to them. And in the big cause of what I have, and we talk now a lot about services, but you can do the same analogy in products. What really matters in product? What do I do in a pre-sales phase, in an after-sales phase? Where should I appear? And then I have to think about, well, what is it actually that my customers complain about? In services, it's a little bit easier.
Yeah.
I mean, you talked about your taxi driver. And I mean, there are some factors who might be out of control for you. Nobody can do anything about a traffic jam, not even Grab. Why should you be concerned about that? There's nothing you can change. But can you change about, let's say, the appearance of the taxi drivers? Can you change about that the taxi drivers say good morning? morning and goodbye consistently. Mm.
So the way the car smells.
Small, small, but it makes a difference.
It could make a difference. Yeah. And if this is important, and here's the thing, if I find out about that, and it's not just about this one review, this one poor review that I get, but I have to find out, is that something that consistently comes up? And I mean, if I have a rating, a true rating scheme, I might be having more than one rating. I might be having 100, 1,000, maybe even a day. Yeah?
Okay.
And that's where I can now start doing things better. And then in a sudden, I will see whether it actually picks up. And that's also the good thing about this rating thing, because it is very, very immediate. The time to market, the conversion from improving something that is important and sticking to it, if I hit it on the nail, then it will turn around immediately.
Right. Okay. Joe, I got a feeling you're going to call this a very activist approach. But if I were to, you know, I'm going through a phase of bad ratings, I want to change things, and I decide to come up with a change in pricing strategy, to come up with promotions or discounts so that people will come back. And this is especially easy in the service industry, right? Do you think this is a good approach? Does it actually help?
Technically, it's the absolute correct approach.
There's
nothing wrong with it. I mean, if you think about a good price, what is a good price? A good price is it's equal to the value that you provide. If price and value is equal, then everybody would agree on that. But of course, what is the value? Yeah. If I have a poor value, I have a hard time making up high prices. So if I lower my prices, I am more balanced with value and price. So in the eye of my consumers, I might be perceived as actually being more attractive or better. If I perform, I don't want to overdo it now. Let's talk about good services in a minute. But if I perform a bad service and I don't charge that much, people would probably think, at least it matches out. But the goal should be, if I have a price, I work on the value, I work on the service. And the better I am, the easier it gets for me to change those prices.
Is there a formula if I wanted to bring down and put in that discount?
The magic formula everyone is looking about. Sorry, I didn't bring my magic pricing dices.
So it's very hard then to, I mean, you gotta gauge, you gotta get a sense of what people are willing to pay for whatever product you're putting out.
I believe a good start is really gut feeling and common sense.
Right.
It is about many companies, they put themselves in the eyes of their customers. They're creating personas. Mm. They're trying to understand those. What type of customers do I have? What type of passengers do a taxi company have? It is like people like you and me. There are the families. There are other things. And then you think about from a product perspective, well, how do they feel if they are now in various situations? And how can I improve on them? And that is not a formula. That is really to think about like a customer. Not like a company, but like from a customer.
But then now, as a company, and always thinking about that end goal, all of this has to lead to profitability. So I've got great ratings. I've got a loyal base of customers. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, I want to increase my prices. What do I do?
Well, you got to increase your prices.
Would it turn people away, though?
It will turn certain people away. One of our founding partners once said, if you don't lose a customer once in a while, chances are you have too low prices.
Okay, that's a nice formula to go by, a nice mantra to go by. What are some of the factors that might influence customer satisfaction, in your opinion?
It is perceived value. We started with the perception, and perception is reality. I need to understand what drives perception. And the fact is that it's a little bit hard to now generalize that, because it really depends on the industry, it depends on who you are, what type of customers you are. But by and large, I think it is about delivering above expectation. It is about, especially in the service industries, to get something that you don't really expect, factors that really entice you. Mm-hmm, and that could be a personal note being addressed by name. That could be, it not necessarily is a great change in the way how I'm delivering my product or my services. Many companies, as a starting hypothesis, I would always assume a company has a good product or a service. No company really goes out there in the market and says, I'm poor.
Yeah.
But it does not necessarily mean I have to change big things. It is the small things that really drive customers' perception. If I deliver once in a while these nice small things, then I can already achieve a lot.
I'm speaking to Jochen Kraus this morning. He's a managing partner of Simon Kutcher & Partners Singapore. We're talking about how businesses can improve bad ratings. A final question for you, Joe. Who in the company should be given the role of looking at ratings? Very often we think, maybe it's someone from Copcoms or in PR communications. But in your opinion, who should it be? Should it even be the guy right on top?
Ultimately, it's a leadership role. no CEO will go through 100,000 different ratings. So you obviously need somebody who actually analyzes through the stuff.
Yep.
But driving that initiative, changing things, making sure it is important, this is a leadership role, and the CEO or the top man or woman of the company that is the right person to look after that.
I think that makes such a difference, because as a top person, you've got so many people in between you and the customer. And as a top person, if you're able to hear from the customer, it'll make a difference in setting precedents throughout the company.
Ultimately, I compare a good company actually with a hawker stall down there. The hawker stall has the immediate relation to the customer. The guy who serves me knows exactly what I want. And the more people I have in a company, the more that distance and the more that feeling is lost. And this is why the executives of a company need to understand what is it that drives customers, what is it that makes them happy,
mm-hmm.
and ultimately, what do I need to do to continue making them happy.
I tell you what, a hawker that can get the right amount of chili right for me, that one's a winner. Joe Chen Krause, managing partner of Simon Kucher & Partners Singapore, in the studio with me. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Elliot.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.